I'm going to talk about the simple multi-antenna spectrum sensing using the data autocorrelation function. And the since there are multiple antennas, the noise variance at each antenna could be different. That's the general model. I'm not going to assume that the signal part is Gaussian. It could be possibly non-Gaussian. Noise is assumed to be, in the first part of my talk, if I have time, I'll extend that to the correlated Gaussian noise. But it's complex, that is proper. The noise variances at different sensors are allowed to be different. This problem has been worked on by a whole bunch of people in different forms. This paper here, because of the name, the title of the paper, have been ignored by a whole bunch of people, including me. So they assume, okay, the basic assumption there is they are, as the title indicates, is uncalibrated receiver, so each sensor can have different noise variants. And they use a generalized likelihood ratio approach. The basic assumption there is, in addition to white Gaussian noise, the signal itself is Gaussian as well as white. So when you write down the likelihood ratio, all time samples are independent, so it's easy to write down the likelihood ratio and then apply generalized likelihood ratio approach. The next set of these two set of papers, they have a similar stuff, but these two papers, they assume equal variances, and they also have generalized likelihood ratio approach. And again, they assume that the signal is white Gaussian. And then this paper has a nice survey of all the stuff available and their own extension to that. Okay. What I want to do is I don't want to assume that the signal is Gaussian, so I don't want to be using generalized likelihood ratio approach. I'll just go in straight and use the autocorrelation function. And the basic assumption we are using here is that the noise is spatially uncorrelated. So the cross-correlation of the signals, or the observation across different sensors is zero under the null hypothesis, could be non-zero under the alternative hypothesis. That's all we're using. But it turns out that after I go through all my stuff, my final result is equal to their result. Okay, they have a generalized likelihood ratio test, which under low signal-to-noise ratio conditions, they has an approximation, which is exactly what I have in the case of white Gaussian noise. Okay, so again, same thing. The good thing about the generalized likelihood ratio test is that asymptotically you can use the Wilks theorem and the related stuff, and you can asymptotically, the generalized likelihood ratio will have a chi-square distribution under null hypothesis, central chi-square distribution, where I have P sensors, so the degrees of freedom is actually the number of unknown parameters under H1, alternative hypothesis, minus the number of unknown parameters under the null hypothesis, okay? So if you do that, you'll get a, so asymptotically, you have the distribution and you can calculate the threshold. Now, if I go back to these two papers here, they exploit the fact that there's a single signal with the one, it's a rank one autocorrelation function under the in the absence of noise under the alternative hypothesis. And the trouble with them is that they compute the threshold for reasonable data length using simulations, okay? There's no analytical way to compute the threshold. They use this approximation, but turns out in their case, this approximation is valid for very large. You have to really have a very large number of samples. And to calculate the probability of detection, again, there's a bunch of results asymptotically. It becomes the chi-square non-central chi-square distribution with the same degrees of freedom, except the non-centrality parameter is a function of Fish and information matrix and a whole bunch of other stuff, okay? In my case, they come out very simply, in a very simple fashion. Okay, so what we're gonna do is we'll simply take the, estimate the correlation function. I'm only gonna use the correlation function of the data at zero lag, but this is general stuff. So the ijth is the ith, and the IJth component of this. So this is the IJth sensor and the JJth sensor cross-correlated. So if under the null hypothesis it's a wide complex Gaussian noise, then turns out at the zero lag, the IJth component of that is complex Gaussian asymptotically with zero mean. Again, remember the noise is uncorrelated spatially. Okay, so when I is not equal to J, it's a zero mean, and the variance under the square root of N over here. This variance is, this is the noise variance under the, for the IJth sensor, this is the noise variant for the JJth sensor, okay? And they are assumed to be unknown. So N plus, if you, this is a P by P matrix where P are the number of sensors. So the off-diagonal terms, either the upper triangle or the lower the triangle, they are mutually, asymptotically, they're mutually independent. Okay, so we turn that problem into the spectrum sensing, whether there's a signal present or not present, into this hypothesis testing problem. So the correlation function between the IJth and the JJth sensor, the since the noise is spatially uncorrelated, this should be zero when I is not equal to J. If no primary signal, if the primary signal, this could be non-zero. Okay, not, it's not identically zero for I not equal to J. So we use the large sample correlation properties, and we consider this test statistic, ad hoc test statistic. These are the estimates, and if you, and we replace the unknown values. If you go back, I need this variance, so we replace them by their estimates, and we normalize it, okay, and compare it against the threshold. And as I mentioned to you before, if you go back to the Lesham van der Winds approach, generalized likelihood ratio approach under the white signal and white noise, white Gaussian signal in white noise, under low SNR conditions, it turns out to be pretty much same thing. Okay. So we want to look, we want to pick the threshold. So for a given probability false alarm, so we look at large sample properties. And if we have the true values here, then if you look at a single pair IJ, I not equal to J, it's a chi-square distribution with 2 degrees of freedom, okay, because asymptotically it was complex Gaussian. And if I sum it over all, so when I replace this by the estimated value, Slutsky's theorem and all that stuff, it still is asymptotically chi-square distribution with 2 degrees of freedom. But my test statistic is summing it over all possible pairs, non-diagonal pairs. So if you do that, then it becomes my test statistic I'm going to be using is a chi-square distribution with these many degrees of freedom. Okay, I'm using all pairs, non-equal pairs. Okay, and this is what you would have gotten if you use the white signal, Gaussian signal, and use the Wilks theorem. Okay, but I didn't have to use that; it's Gaussian. Okay, now we want to calculate the detection probability. So detection probability turns out we will use the low signal-to-noise ratio calculations, but under alternative hypothesis, and it doesn't have to be a wide signal, but you have an expression for the correlation function, something like this, and we make a big vector out of it. I basically take all the terms, p squared minus p terms out of, over two terms out of this, make a big vector out of it. And asymptotically also, this is Gaussian, but with this mean, okay, and this mean is, the contribution to the mean is coming from the primary user signal, okay. But asymptotically, it's not complex, okay. It's not proper. It's not circularly symmetric, okay. So the real part is not independent of the imaginary part, or the complementary correlation is not zero. However, if I invoke low SNR conditions, then it's approximately complex Gaussian, so that's what I'm going to be using. Basically, the under the low SNR conditions, the only effect is in the mean becomes non-zero. Okay, the variance doesn't change much. So if you use that, then it's complex Gaussian, and based on that, we go back to the same test statistic. Then for large sample length, this will become non-central chi-square distribution. with non-centrality parameter lambda, which is given by this. But if I use, this is a general expression, but if I use low SNR assumption, then it becomes something like this, which you, if simplify it, put all the stuff in there, is some simply this. So I'm using the same expression, except that these correlation functions are now with the primary signal present. Okay, so this I can use the nice variances, but here I have the effect of the primary signal. Okay, when I is not equal to J, this is not zero. Okay, and so now it becomes my test statistic under the alternative hypothesis in the presence of the primary user signal asymptotically is a non-central chi-square distribution with the same degrees of freedom. So again, you would have gotten similar result if you had assumed everything was white Gaussian signal, white Gaussian noise, and used the Wilks theorem. Okay, so I'll show you a simulation example. We have four antennas, and I'm going to, although the results are valid for a general channel, I'm going to assume a flat fading channel with independent components, complex Gaussian, so basically each component is really fading. And I'll use a QPSK primary user signal, and the noise variances are multiples of some fixed variance to just arbitrarily pick. There's not no significance to this. And I need an SNR, so instead of calculating the signal-to-noise ratio at each antenna, I'm just going to take an average SNR. So the average signal power, sum the power, signal power over all four antennas, divide by sum of the noise power over all four antennas. Okay, so I'll just call it an average SNR. And I'll compare it with with the standard energy detector. And this is the what I call the time domain generalized likelihood ratio test. These are the original two papers I mentioned. Let me quickly go back and see which. Okay, these two papers are pretty much doing the same thing. Okay, so I'm comparing with these two, not with this one. This paper, the result is same as mine. Okay, under the condition I'm using it, because okay, these guys don't allow the noise variance to be different at different sensors. They assume the same sensor. And they compute the eigenvalues of your correlation matrix. Okay, and this is the largest eigenvalue of that, and this is the sum. This is the sum of the all the eigenvalues, and compare this against the threshold. And again, for this one, energy detector, as well as for this GLRT, the threshold has to be computed through simulations. Okay, asymptotic results don't give you any decent results. And that's what I'm showing here, the receiver operating characteristic for 128 samples and minus 7 dB average SNR. Sum of all the signal power across all sensors divided by the sum of noise power across all sensors. This really doesn't work. This is the GLRT assuming equal variance at all the sensors. This is the energy detector, and this is the autocorrelation function approach. And this is the same setup, except I'm changing my SNR for a probability of false alarm of 0.01. And this is the proposed stuff. And this is the energy detector. This is the GLRT. This is the energy detector for the, if your threshold is based upon the noise variances or through simulations, but if you're off by 2 dB or so, it's sensitive to the selection of the threshold. It's sensitive to the threshold selection is based upon your knowledge of the noise variance. If your noise variance is off, the performance can be pretty much off. Okay. And these are the results for the okay. Now for these two plots, I have relay fading, but for my probability of detection calculation, that's based upon the fixed channel. Okay. So these results are for the fixed channel. It's a non-central chi-square distribution. So that's what I'm showing here. So here I fix the channel, the magnitude of the channel to be 1. The phase can change randomly. And the solid curve is the simulation result, and the dashed curve is the theoretical stuff. And this is for 128 samples. Probability of false around 0.01. And same noise mismatch under the four sensors. And this is for 25 samples. Okay, so everything is based on 25 samples, and this is the solid curve is the simulations, and the dashed curve is the theory. Okay. So that's pretty much what I have in my paper in the proceedings. Do you have some more time? Do you have, okay, so I'll show you what happens. You can extend. This is not in the, in the, the conference paper. So now I'm going to allow the noise to be colored. So basically what we're using is that the noise is spatially uncorrelated across senses, but time-wise it can be correlated, so that's what it is. And I use the same approach, okay? So the, and then the null hypothesis, the correlation function at zero lag, for I not equal to J, zero, for I not equal to J, it's not identically zero. So, but what happens is the noise variance now changes, okay? The, under the null hypothesis, if you estimate this value, its noise variance in my previous stuff, what I presented before, if it is white Gaussian noise, this is non-zero for m equal to zero. But if it is colored noise, then the noise variance is higher, and it also depends upon the correlation structure of the noise at each sensor. So this is the ith sensor structure, this is a jth sensor structure, this is a lag m. Okay, so I am summing it over different lags, where my capital M is the upper bound on the correlation lags. Okay, I'm assuming that beyond M it goes to zero, and the rest of the stuff is exactly what I did before. The only modification we need is this. Okay, and again, it's the chi-square distribution with the same number of degrees of freedom, and if you do that, it works very fine. Okay, this is the proposed stuff. This is the energy detector, and this is the energy detector with the noise estimate mismatch. And if we design, this is designed for a probability of false alarm of 0.01. However, if we assume it's white noise or apply the generalized likelihood ratio test with white noise and white signal, then the probability of false alarm you're going to get is much higher, 0.138 or something like that. Okay, so that, so basically those tests are not invariant to the correlation structure of noise. Whereas by modifying it, this applies very well. Okay, that's all I have to say.
Okay. We have a couple of minutes for question from the stage. Is there any question?
Yeah.
According to your model, the signal, the primary, has time structure. However, in the first part, you want to use the lag at zero.
Yeah, I'm not using the structure. It can, it may have, it may be correlated, it may not be correlated. It doesn't matter. And I have tried these simulations on, because at zero lag, it has to be non-zero. At different other lags, it could be zero, but at zero lag, it has to be zero. So I am not exploiting that, no. You're right, yeah.
Okay, I have just another short one.
Yeah.
You said that your paper and your technique is improving with respect to existing literature, taking into account the possibility of different variants for the noise on each sensor. So is it... can you give some example where, in practice, we could have different sensors with different noise at the receiver side? I mean, are you assuming that each one of your sensors could be different from the other one?
Yeah, or it could be a calibration could go off with time.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, any other question? We have still one minute if we want to exploit it.
Yeah.
Question, I probably missed, but the noise variances, which are unequal, do they need to be known to you?
No, they are known.
So it's robust?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's thank the speaker.
Thank you.